Well, I'm feeling a little bit uppity this morning.
Woo-hoo! Hallelujah!
My prayer life has changed since our granddaughter. And you get into things that you kind of lightly skipped over before, in the war, in the battle, you start paying a little more attention to things. And like, I was just reading this last night, and I'm sure you guys, you're familiar with a lot of this, but just decide a Psalm 91, different things. Because you've made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you.
Thank you, Lord.
Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, that's true or it's not true?
He says it is.
And because you've made him your dwelling place, he shall give his angels charge over you. Imagine angels in charge over you.
Amen. Fill this place today.
You don't even know it. You don't even know it. There are angels in here right now. Yeah. Ones God assigned to you and every one of us. They shall have charge over you and keep you in all your ways. Sometimes we don't feel that or don't think it, but he said he will. They'll keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up. You know, it's just awesome when you really start pondering them and thinking about them and praying them. You tend to get a little uppity in the Lord. We must be so special in the Lord. My goodness, some of his promises to us are quite stunning. And too many times we just, read it in one, in your eyes and gone out of your mind. But you start thinking about them, and it's truly amazing. This is the word of God we're talking about. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. Okay. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday or any other day. Just amazing. So you read some of these great things, the promises the Lord has to give, has over us and said about us. And if he says about one, he said about every one of us.
Amen.
It doesn't say, if one is promised salvation, all of us are. If one of us is promised protection, every one of us are. Because he is a respecter of no persons. If he healed somebody, some cripple in a synagogue, he'll heal anybody today.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it, his word is to be, his word is true. We got to stand on it. It may not happen today the way you want it, tomorrow, next day, but it will happen. It will happen. If it doesn't happen the way you think it should be, well, there's a reason for that. His thoughts, his ways are way above ours. But nevertheless, I read some of these. I hold them right the way they say. I remind the Lord, this is your word, Lord. This is your word. You said it through the prophet or whomever, man of God. And so we stand on that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. There is five of us here. That's enough to, right here it says, a thousand may fall at your side, then 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you, only with your eye. You shall look and see the reward of the wicked. But there's five of us. We got enough here to destroy thousands of demons.
That's right.
Drive them away with our prayers, our word. So We thank you, Father God. We thank you for such authority and such power through the name of Jesus. It's, when we think about it, Father God, it is just stunning. And how sometimes we make so, we take your word and your promises and we use them so little. We just undervalue them. We don't pay attention to them. We don't honor them. We don't put them to work, Father God. And forgive us for that, Lord. But just help us to stand on your word and expect and wait on you. Wait on you. Sometimes you act right away. You acted on my behalf the other day. Well, this is just a personal thing, but within that 20 minutes, somebody called me that I was praying that they wouldn't call, and it happened. And a problem is being taken care of. And I thank you for that, Father God. I just thank you for your promises. I thank you for that you do keep your word. You do keep your covenant. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your mighty presence here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for indwelling in us and indwelling in this sanctuary. And just have your way. Have your way today, Father. Father God, power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
When I was in prayer, I was saying, Lord, you've shown you over and over again that when I'm worrying or praying or have anxiety and can't sleep or eat, you seem to show up on me this perfect.
The one thing I can say is you're faithful.
I like to read, to get your Bibles out, to Psalms 34. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. The happiness of those who trust in God. Amen to that, huh?
Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, may the divine Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Remember that. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Did you notice they didn't say some, they said all?
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see what the Lord, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want for those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen, amen to that.
Amen.
And that's a promise from the Lord to us. Please turn to 61. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3, please. Assurance of God's eternal protection. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Amen.
For you have been my shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. And I will abide in your tabernacle forever. And I will trust in your shelter of your wings. For you, O Lord, have heard my vows. And you have given me a heritage of those who fear your name. For you will prolong the king's life in the years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praises to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vow. Remember that. Psalms 91. Lord, lay this one on my heart this week, really heavy, and I would like to read the whole psalm. I was only going to read a couple verses, but the Lord made me come and stay the whole time. Safety in the body in the presence of God. Psalms 91. He who shall dwell in the secret of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will surely say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from all of the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilences. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings He shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of by the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all of His ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lions and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we glorify your name today, Lord. Father, we had a good time with you this morning, Lord. Father, I ask for your anointing upon this word. I ask, Father, that this word can be sealed in our hearts, Father, and we can realize how faithful you are and that we don't have to worry. So we give you praise this morning, Lord. I ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The message that the Lord laid on my heart is say no to anxiety. And I have only had one anxiety attack, and I had never heard of that in my whole life. I didn't even know what that meant. And it's been quite some time now. It's probably been about 10, 12 years. I'm not really for sure. And I went to this woman's conference, and I can't even remember where it was, but the speaker that was there, I sat in my first two rows like I usually do and wanted to participate and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I had this terrible, terrible pain in my chest. I mean, it was beyond anything I can express, and it just thumped and thumped and thumped. And anyways, the speaker got up to give the word of the Lord, and she came down to me, and she said, you know, you're having an anxiety attack. And I went and looked at her, and I thought, what's she talking about? You know, like, but I didn't understand what was going on. And anyway, she prayed over me, and that had to be truly wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because I didn't really know anything about anxiety, nor was I uptight when I got to the conference. But whatever that pressure was, it was beyond words. It was almost like having a heart attack. And anyways, once she prayed, it was gone. So I really kind of tuned in to to what the speaker was talking about, and she was talking about anxiety as well. And I thought, wow, I said, you know, I didn't really think this was for me, this conference. I just come to pray for other people and stuff like that. But what I found is that we all go through times of anxiety. We might not label it that. We might not even understand it. But we have to be willing to know who we are and say, nope, not going to do that to me. Nope, you're not going to handle that. And I really, when I kind of shared some things I was going through personally myself, Joe just came up and he kept on, in the room he would just say things like, well, why would God's word say that? You know, God's word doesn't say that. You know, God's word, you know, he's faithful. He's always there. He's not up and down and kind of all that. And I won't ever forget it because it really ministered to me. And I don't ever want you to think that that you just have your act all together. We all need each other. And we need each other and we need to pray for each other. And we might think everybody's really fine and kind of all that. But what I want to tell you is we all need each other.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's important to understand that. And
we're all human.
Yeah, we're all human. And, you know, when I was working on the cover of Don't Worry About Anything, pray. Pray about everything. You know, if anybody said to me, you know, I didn't pray enough, or, you know, I wasn't a prayer person, you know, that's not really true because I know it's one of the callings on my life is to really pray. And sometimes you don't know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit allows you to pray in tongues because you're talking directly to the Father. And I just wish that I had more messages to talk about prayer. But when you don't know what to do, and you don't know what to say, and you don't know where to go, one of the things I have found that really helped me was going into Philippians 4. And so I'd like to take you to Philippians 4. Verse 4 through 7, and really, I'd really just like to start at verse 1. Philippians 4. It says, "Therefore, my beloved," all of us in this room, whether you're young or whether you're old, you are the beloved by the Lord.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful word.
He's talking to each and every one of us.
Yes. "Therefore, my beloved," he called you mine, "and long for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved." And then I want to skip up, and then I want to go to verse 3. "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose name are in the book of life." Is your name in the book of life? Do you really know him? Do you really serve him? Verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say rejoice." And it is so easy for me to be up here and praise and worship unto the Lord because I love it. I put everything I have into selecting these songs, and I go before the Lord, and how do you want me to do this, and what should we say? But, you know, one of the things that I have found is when I surrender me and I get before him, I think we really have a powerful service. You can just feel his glory. And he tells us to rejoice in him, to rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." You know, the Lord is gentle. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. When I see some of the things that I see today, and people are praying and maybe touching someone and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister, and some people walk away embarrassed. That's not my Father. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he has great respect and great gentleness.
Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. Wow. We give thanks. We give thanks for even what we might consider a small thing. Thank Him for everything. And it's so easy to do that when everything's going great or hunky-dory, as the kids would say. But truthfully, we're supposed to praise Him all the time.
Amen.
Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I don't know about you, but when I'm in great turmoil, certain things are happening or anxiety has set in, there ain't no peace there. But when you know that you praise the Lord, you've left it with Him, there becomes a shalom peace that you can't even describe into words. It is so peaceful. And I love the other part of this that says, He will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Our minds, we try to see things and do things by our mind. But this is the worst enemy right here, is this mind. We have to realize that that's where the battle is. And sometimes when we're full of anxiety, truthfully, we've thought about it up here in our brain. We haven't really surrendered that anxiety over to the Lord. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Lord placed that on my heart so much that you can't let worry take over you. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he went through a lot of things. Unbelievable things. Paul simply refused to go down with the ship. He just wouldn't go down with the ship. These times Paul was shipwrecked, and he once spent a full day, a night, and a day. And as he put it, he was on the open sea. And other problems along the way. He was stoned. He was scourged 5 times. He was beaten with fists, rods, and words. He'd been chastised, scandalized, and slandered. He'd become the focus of riots, death threats, and after one harrowing near-death experience, he became snake-bitten. His focus, his energy, his resilience were nearly frightening if you really study all the things that happened to Paul. In fact, the only thing that seemed to discourage Paul were the problems in his young churches. To read Paul's letters to those churches, one might come away with the idea that Paul was continually frustrated and that his work wasn't successful. That's what he placed upon himself. After all those early letters were filled with corrections, some of them were really quite harsh. But in reality, Paul's work changed the world. Sometimes when we go through all these hardened times and all these things fall upon us, if we can stand, if we can be firm, if we can be faithful to the Lord, if we know He is our beloved, and we are His, then we can stand through it and have the victory. That's what it said about here in this. Don't worry, pray about everything. Think of some of the places Paul was at. In places like Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, the once powerful temples and the religions of the Greek gods that so dominated his culture, they're in ruins today. In fact, when our daughter got a chance to see something, she sent me a picture and she goes, Mom, she says, I just really can't believe the condition some of these places are. Now, my God is a jealous God and he wants to be worshiped and he wants to be your first love and he wants you to give him everything about you. He doesn't want all these idols, all these things in life to be more powerful than he is or to take precedence. And yet billions have and are still reading Paul's letters. They memorize passages and they follow the instructions of his. Paul was still preaching his passionate message to the culture. As human beings, we pride ourselves on being the only species that understands the concept of risk. Yet we have all been come through a time that we have worry, we have fear, we ignore possibilities, we build barricades, we try to preserve ourselves from danger so that nothing happens to us. But if you want to know the real truth, it's when you have nothing and you serve him that he will take care of you. He wants us to completely die of ourselves. I wrote this down as well. I remember hearing so much about the bird flu. I think it was like in 06, 07, or something like that. It wasn't for sure. And what was so amazing, people freaked out. I know of a person who was a praise and worship person, and she actually had tons of birds. I'll just kind of give you this example. And they talk about that if you constantly don't clean your cages and you're always feeding birds and then you touch your eyes, you can actually go blind by that because birds carry certain diseases. But in here, you think of what they're talking about now. Now they're talking about measles. They've talked about different epidemics that have come back. We've seen more kids get the flu shot. We've talked about kids that get autism. We talk about all these different things that are affecting kids today. And I mean, they're talking that about kids. And yet, truthfully, what the Lord showed to me was this, that when the bird flu hit in about that time, nobody in the United States got killed. Nobody even got harmed from the bird flu. But isn't that something that all of a sudden we all rush to get vaccinated because, hey, we don't want to have anything happen. We run and get vaccinated so we can have the flu vaccination. But truthfully, that flu vaccination contributed to 36,000 Americans dying each year. That's pretty strong. Something else that I wrote here, too, is airline crashes. Most people have fear of flying in an airplane, but truthfully, we have 44,000 that are killed in motor vehicle wrecks every day. There are accidents that happen constantly right here in Benzie County, right in Traverse City. I mean, they're constantly talking about this. We wring our hands over the mad cow pathogen that you heard about a long time ago. We talk about the E. coli in hamburger. We talk about, hey, if you eat beef, you've got more cholesterol in your system, and that it contributes to heart diseases. We looked for a package of spinach, and a couple months ago, they had so much E. coli in a bag of spinach. Yet we fill our carts with fat, sodden french fries, salted nachos, potato chips. Those things can't be too bad. We put filters on our faucets. We put air ionizers in our home. We lather ourselves with antibacterial soap. And at the same time, 20% of all adults still smoke. 20% of drivers are alcoholics. Many people don't use their seatbelts. And 2/3 of us are either overweight or obese in some way. 2/3. Wow. In short, we choose some of the strangest things to have anxiety over. And truthfully, if we get that anxiety built up so bad in us, it moves into what I call stress, and it causes us to die. I want you to know that Bible knowledge is so important. I want to give you an example that I read. I thought it was really cute. It was about a pastor, and it was like a church that was just beginning. And he decided he wasn't going to preach. He had someone else preach, and so he decided to visit the classroom. And the teacher in one of the children's classrooms was so excited. We got a guest coming. The pastor's not in church. He's in children's church. And this morning, they were studying about Joshua. Wow, one of the kids says, we're studying about Joshua. And the pastor goes, oh, that's just wonderful. And so the pastor decided he'd just give a little pop quiz to the kids. And he said, well, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And there was cute little Johnny, and he goes, Pastor, I didn't do it. And the pastor said, what, Johnny? He goes, I didn't do it. I didn't knock down that walls of Jericho. I didn't do it. And the pastor kind of chuckled, didn't know how to deal with it. And then he goes, okay, that's enough looping around. That's how he dealt with it. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Well, the teacher was a little bit unnerved because the pastor said that little Johnny was a good boy. How dare the pastor say that little Johnny was a good boy and he was the biggest stinker that she had in her classroom? Flustered, the pastor went to the Sunday school director and related the story to him. The director looked very, very worried. Well, sir, we had some problems with Johnny beforehand, but since you said that Johnny was a good boy, we're not having so many problems with him anymore. Well, he said to his team meeting, his team group, he says, I need to kind of talk about this. I really need to tell you the truth that even the teacher didn't know, nor could the kids say who knocked down the walls of Jericho. So then the pastor, he met with his deacons. And for the very first time, he related the entire story and his concern that a child, his teacher, and even the Sunday school teacher and the Sunday school director, they didn't know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. There was utter silence in this meeting. It was an awkward silence. The pastor didn't even know how to handle it. And finally, the oldest deacon in the room stroked his chin a little bit and he said, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what. I move we just take the money from the general fund and we'll pay to get the walls fixed in Jericho. And we'll leave it at that. Somewhere along the lines, these folks were missing the Bible knowledge. I dealt with that the first 2 years I was here. Someone was teaching something, but knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. They could say a few truths about the Bible. But anyways, they missed one of the most important, incredible truths this pastor said in the Bible, the secret about being anxious for nothing. Paul, Silas, they were between Macedonia's call passage and the journey to Philippi, and Timothy reached his European soil for the first time, and he moved quickly to the largest city of the region. The ruins of the city included the main highway of the Roman Empire. It had tons of spectators there. There were over 3,000 spectators, and outside the city, Paul and his companions met Lydia, and some others moved along quietly enough until Paul healed a child. And as Paul healed the child in the name of Jesus, and her owners trumped up charges against him because he healed that child. Whoa, must be demon possessed. No, the Spirit of the Lord ain't on him. Paul writes in the Philippian letter, included in his letter, is the thing to be anxious for nothing. He did nothing. He didn't defend himself. He wasn't anxious for nothing. Paul probably visited Philippi a second time. There's a hint that he did that in Acts 20, but we don't really know. But it was the first short visit that made the most powerful impact on them. He modeled what he preached, choosing to rejoice at all times and to say no to anxiety. I have to stand before you today and tell you that was a hard thing for me to do, to say, nope, not going to do that to me. From a practical aspect, this is one of the most obvious reasons Paul had such a successful career. Because he learned how to defeat stress. There's so many books on stress. How did he function successfully in such stressful situations all around him? Being accused of this, being hit, being all those things happening to him. How do you function when the stress is all around you? Do you latch out? Do you have an anger issue? Do you get discouraged? The word says, never did Paul show the way more clearly than the night he and Silas sang in the bottom of the prison. They praised God. They worshiped God. I think that is so powerful. Their backs were bleeding. They were bruised. Their feet were in some kind of stocks. Probably, I don't even really know, but they sang a song. They worshiped him. One of the best ways to defeat anxiety and stress is to worship the King. The records show that an earthquake set Paul and Silas free that night. But their songs tell us they had been set free long before those chains came off people. The instructions of Philippians 4:4-7 that I read tells us how they done it and how it can be done today. The Holy Spirit said, number one, choose to rejoice. No matter the circumstances. Any of us can sing on a good day. Try singing when your voice cracks. Try singing when you don't want to sing. Sometimes laughter is so good for all of us. I don't know about you. That's one of the things that my sister complained to me before her death was that I didn't laugh no more. I don't hear you being funny no more. I don't. Laughter is important because it releases what is going on in you. I don't know about you. Maybe you're going through a heartbreak. But I want you to know the more you praise Him, the more the circumstances will lift. It's actually changing the atmosphere beyond our understanding. One of the things that the Holy Spirit showed Joe and I don't even know, and I'd love to have it on tape, was when our grandbaby was going through, they were making a decision, she was going to go through this procedure, and we were in here warring. There's a difference between praying and spiritual warfare. And I love to war on the drums. I love to war on the congas. I just let my spirit go within me and I just war with them. And I have for a long time. And when we were in here, that's what happened. And Diane, who does not use the TAMS and has the freedom of that, just like how Vicki comes up and wars with her flag, Diane came up here and she was playing the tambourine. It was so profound what it sounded like. Karen was totally over here on these instruments here, and I was on Joe's drums. And we were speaking to the atmosphere. We were speaking that every demonic stronghold had to break down, that the Lord would send his angelic beings for this procedure that our grandbaby was going through. And Karen heard the roar of the lion behind her. Lord even gave her a picture of him. And our kids, who were downstate, they went down on the main floor. And as they were on the main floor, they could feel the earth as if an earthquake was happening under their feet. We didn't know that. We were just doing warring here in the sanctuary. But it was so powerful that I'm sorry I can't put it into words. But we knew that the battle was being won by the Lord and that the angels were being sent forth. And anyways, our daughter-in-law, Sarah, said she was in the gift shop and she could feel trembling, just this trembling underneath her. And so she said to the lady next to her, "Do you feel that? Do you feel that?" And the gal goes, "No, I don't feel nothing." And all of a sudden, Sean comes to Sarah and says, "Did you feel that?" So they were feeling the trembling as the procedure was going on. And then the Holy Spirit, they knew, because I had just sent a brief message saying, "We're warring." And Sarah told me later that they were down on the main floor for about an hour, and Sean was getting very restless. If you know my son, he's been, you know, really standing as an advocate for this baby. And so they went up to, what floor was it, Jeff? Fourth floor. I'm sorry? Fourth floor. They went up to the fourth floor, and there's like a receptionist there, and that's the surgical floor. And the surgeons, whoever was there, had said, "Well, the baby, it was done like in 45 minutes. She's already back in her room." And Sarah said that when they went right up to the room. No one said anything. No one told them. They had a beeper, like when you go to a restaurant and it's your turn to go get seated and it beeps and stuff. And I didn't know this until 2 days ago. And she said that when they got into the room and everything, the baby was there, and the doctor came around the corner, and he goes, "In all the years that he did practice, did this procedure, and he did one baby after another baby, tracking these babies," he said, "that was the smoothest it had ever happened." And there was five total children who went through this procedure, which that still didn't mean anything to me. And so the Lord said, "Now I want you to share with Sarah on the phone about what you were experiencing here at the church." And she experienced, and she told about the, like how the earth, how it felt like an earthquake. And I also got a chance to relate it to Lazarus. And the Lord said those that were his felt that earthquake. So when we say, "Lord, we want you to change the atmosphere," when we say, "Lord, there's an open heaven here," what we're saying is that the Lord's coming down with his power and his authority, and that is what was happening that day. And it was so powerful, I wish I could express it, but I want to say it enough so that it's on the podcast. But I want you to know that every one of those babies are alive today. They were infants coming out of the womb. And the Holy Spirit said to us, "I am the giver of life and death. And when I roar, everything bows down to that roar." It just changes everything. Well, I got to share that with our daughter-in-law, Sarah. And Sarah said, "Oh my gosh, Mom, thanks. You know, you really encouraged me, you know. You know, when you go through certain things every day. Now, there was anxiety she had. She's still standing on the word. There was still stress on both of them, still standing in the word. This is the only thing, this Bible, that will take you through it in his great name. So no matter what the circumstances are, we're to rejoice in it, even when the pains are sharp. So it's both good news and bad news that in an hour of difficulty, people are watching and listening more than ever to know if your faith in Christ is genuine. I'm telling you, he knows those that are his, and he has definitely separated the sheep from the goats. To put it simply, they wanted to know if their faith worked. I've never had my personal faith tested so much. Anyone's faith can work on a good day, when every hell situation is coming about. To depend on him, to have faith, is the real deal. And they watched very closely. What was to our amazement was until we put it all together, we had no idea. We went over to our neighbors to help out. And 2 weeks ago, I got to encourage our neighbor. She encouraged me. She says, how many babies did you say there were?
I said, five.
She says, do you know what five stands for, Marie? And I thought to myself, what are you talking about? And the number five stands for grace. Did you hear that? Every day we've learned a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Every day we have to be before the Lord and trust in him and allow our faith to grow from one level to another. The second thing that the Holy Spirit showed me is secure your foundation. And it's in Christ alone. The old hymn, it's in Christ alone that I stand on. It's not in my strength, it's in his strength. In everything, it is in prayer, it's in petition, it's in thanksgiving, and it's in request to who? To God. So we have to secure that foundation. The other thing I put down here is, I don't know about you, but I think of different rumors or different things, and I kind of would worry about this or worry about that. And what I found was that it might have ruined my day. And some of it was never true in the first place. I mean, couldn't we get honest right now? Did you ever get yourself all worked up about something and you didn't know what you were going to say or what to do or how to talk? Or I didn't know how I was going to explain about this earthquake tour and about Lazarus when he said, come forth. And Martha, who knew him and served him, said, well, you know, if you'd just been here, you know, he's been in the grave for 3 days and he stinks. But you know what? If you'd just gotten here, the Lord says, do you know who I am? And she goes, yes, I know you're the resurrection and the life yet to come. He is the great I am. He's with us when we don't even see it. So I got to share that. You know, I don't know about you, but I think of brides. You know, I did so many weddings and decorated, and Joe helped too, and I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it in the wrong way. But, you know, a young bride gets really anxious, is worried about everything, you know, like, is this going to work out? Is the band going to be there or whatever goes? And is the minister going to do this or whatever? And, you know, you just kind of get all worked up and a piece of the cake fell off or it's not decorated right. You get anxious. But you know what? One of the things that I found is that the minister just broke a ceremony down into small pieces. You know, I remember thinking, am I going to remember all those words and I have to say those vows to Joe? Can I repeat all those? You know, sometimes, Lord, I'm kind of an airhead and it just goes right over my head. And you kind of worry, are you going to say the right things? Are you going to trip going down the steps? Or, you know, I mean, hey, let's make it real here. But one of the things that I found is that when I focus on him, everything goes good. Focus on him, everything goes good. He makes everything run smooth. One of the things that I also put down here is that we have to focus on the positive. I have been, but with so many people that are negative all the time, it just almost makes me want to vomit. And I've seen fights and I think all kinds of things happen over people who are constantly in anxiety, constantly depressed, can't get up in the morning and say good morning, just, oh my gosh, I just really can't deal with them because they're not part of my sunshine. They're just not. Or you walk into a house and it's all dark and I like everything all lit up. I sleep with the night light. I like the sun to come in. I like all that. And I'm just telling you, the whole atmosphere that I like is someone who's not a complainer. I'm telling you, if you think you've got problems, there's people who's got bigger problems than you. And what's one of the things that the Holy Spirit helped me to understand, I got all worked up, Joe's been worked up, you know, we pray, we seek the face of the Lord, and something else will come up, and oh my gosh, you worry about this, and you trust in the Lord, and you have faith. The Lord said to me, I shared this with y'all, what you're going through is nothing compared to what your kids are going through. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He says, their anxiety and the things that they're going, they have such faith in me and trust in me, you need to do the same thing. Now that is what all of us go through. There are people, and if you think people aren't going through things, you're wrong. You need to stop being so critical about it, start loving on people, and even accept the love ourselves. Another thing that I wrote here, this was about a canary. And I love birds. I love butterflies. I got more pictures of butterflies than probably most people. And when I went into the hospital, they had blue butterflies all over me. You've heard my story about the blue butterflies. Oh my goodness, they're just so beautiful. And I found this story about a canary. Says, there among the chatter of the sparrows, the canary just sang and sang and sang and sang, but the sparrows never sang. The birds sang and sang and sang, but the sparrows only chatter, 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 chatter. And because he didn't watch closely enough, the man discovered a sad truth a little bit too late. Within a very short period of time, the constant chatter of the sparrows started to discourage the canary. Please hear this. And all of a sudden, that beautiful canary that had a beautiful song, loved to sing to the Lord, got so heavy with the sparrow's problem of chatter, chatter. This is my problem. This is what I went through. That it discouraged the canary. And that beautiful bird that sang every morning unto the Lord was discouraged and sang no more. What the Lord showed me is that you and I do not live in a vacuum. We are surrounded by birds of all kinds of feathers, and only of a few of them really know how to sing a beautiful song. But those who sing, they sing no matter the weather, no matter the circumstance. And if you fly with them, if you'll soar with them, you will sing too. And I thought about that. I thought about that beautiful canary who was so down by the sparrow. I want to encourage you today that when you're going through all these problems and all these situations, you need to watch what you're saying. because you're bringing other people down into your misery. And the Lord wants us to give words of encouragement, wants us to give words of who He is, give words of, hey, sing a new song today for the Lord. Hey, have a smile on your face. Hey, go walk out in the sunshine today. And the Lord placed that really heavily on my heart, that we all, through trouble, need to sing a new song to the Lord. Isn't that powerful? And I'd like to conclude that way without adding to it or taking away from it. So when we have that anxiety, praise the Lord. Worship Him, for it is all about Him.
Amen.
And isn't that good? And when the Lord gave me that message, I really couldn't even write it all down fast enough. And I'm not the greatest typer. I can get by, and I know how to do this on the computer, but I didn't know if I could put it all down. But I really want you to hear that from the Lord. We need to have joy. We need to laugh. We need to look at the good things. And when we think that it's all about us and what we're going through, what the Holy Spirit showed me is, you know, when we come in with the right attitude and the joy and everything, we can help set other people free.
Amen.
And not be the sparrow, but be that beautiful canary that we sing right now.
Amen.